This is a Coin 6 News breaking news alert.
And we interrupt programming to bring you breaking news. There is a verdict in the Jeremy Christian trial. That verdict will be announced momentarily. Let's take a live look. Jeremy Christian just arrived.
It's really hard. I'd say the hardest part of the whole trial is hearing your son on a platform crying for help as a father.
You were there. In the Max Train murder trial, Jeremy Christian found guilty on all 12 counts, each one a unanimous decision by the jury.
On a sunny Friday afternoon in May of 2017, a hate-filled, self-proclaimed white supremacist went on a racist, violent, and deadly rampage on board a MAX train in Portland, Oregon. On a mostly cloudy Friday afternoon, almost 3 years later, a Multnomah County jury unequivocally convicted him, not just beyond a reasonable doubt, but beyond any doubt. I'm Ian Costello. It is Monday, February 24th, 2020, and Jeremy Christian is guilty.
From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin 6 digital exclusive.
Joining me now is Coin digital reporter Hannah Rae Lambert. She was in court for every day of testimony. Hannah Rae, first work day in about a month that you haven't been in the courtroom. Thanks for spending some of your time with me.
You're welcome. It's nice to be back in the newsroom and actually see my coworkers.
Friday afternoon, as those of us in the newsroom were waiting for a verdict, Coin 6 reporter Jennifer Dowling went to the Hollywood Transit Center in Southeast Portland, and that is the place where Jeremy Christian killed two people and critically wounded a third on May 26, 2017. She found some people there paying their respects to the victims, and it was a somber mood. While you were waiting for the verdict at the courthouse, what was the mood in the hallway?
So it was a flurry of actions and emotions in the hallway. It was kind of unexpected. It was about 30 minutes after the jurors had come back from lunch break that the courthouse PIO told us that they had reached a verdict. And within 10 minutes, victims and their advocates were already showing up at the courthouse. Demetria Hester was the first one I saw there, and she was there in fewer than 10 minutes.
Any idea how they got the information that a verdict had been reached?
You know, the court has victim advocates that are part of the DA's office, and I assume they reach out to them. They've been sitting in the gallery with them the whole time, so I think they've got a good network of informing people.
After the push alerts went out that a verdict had been reached, it kind of seemed like a long wait. Did it feel like a long wait down there?
Sort of. It was about an hour total, I think, since they announced that a verdict had been reached. About half of that was everybody waiting in the hallway, and it was getting packed because more and more people were showing up. And eventually they started letting the victims and their families into the courtroom. And once the reporters and the media were allowed in the courtroom, it was probably like a 20-minute wait until the judge actually came in.
The picture we saw on television of Jeremy Christian, he looked subdued. How did you feel he reacted? What was his attitude walking into the courtroom? This is a person that has had several violent outbursts in the past at different court appearances. He stayed relatively quiet during the trial. What was his mood as he walked in there into the courtroom on Friday afternoon, knowing that a verdict had been reached in the case?
Right. I was really expecting him to say something, but he was silent the entire time. Even on the first day of the trial, he came in. His first walk into the courtroom, he said, "You guys ready to smash Portland's fairy tale?" But by the end of it, he was quiet the entire time. It's hard to get inside of his head, but I think he probably knew that things were not going to go well.
Once the verdict starts being read and we hear the guilty, guilty, guilty 12 times, we've seen some pretty incredible pictures from inside the courtroom. How would you assess the mood in the courtroom as that verdict was read?
The mood really shifted several times in the courtroom. When everyone first came in, before the jury was inside, a lot of the people over on the victims and victims' family side were chatting with each other. It's kind of like they're all connected by this tragedy and they're all catching up. And these people who were strangers to each other, you know, 3 years ago now have a relationship. So they were all chatting before it started. Once it started, they were silent, and the judge cautioned everyone to refrain from having any sort of audible reaction. She wanted it very calm, very composed, and they did that. Everyone was silent. They were holding hands in the gallery as she read the 12 charges and 12 verdicts. And then once she finished the 12th one, there was this gasp and like sobs of relief from the victim's family side of the courtroom. And as the judge then went on and said that it was unanimous on all counts, Demetria Hester raised her fist into the air. It was just a lot of relief over there. They've been waiting 3 years for this moment.
Let's rewind a little bit and talk about the first part of last week and the closing arguments. Prosecutors have made some pretty strong assertions about Jeremy's violent behavior, and we've seen a lot of it on the videos. In the end, what was the message the prosecutors seemed to be emphasizing to the jury?
I think the prosecutors were really going for the jury's emotions there. You know, talking about the horrible, horrible way that these men died. They described Ricky Best's murder as cold-blooded because he wasn't really involved. He wasn't directly confronting Christian. So they said he really had no reason to go after this man. So really playing with people's emotions and, you know, replaying some of the most shocking video and some of the video from after the stabbings where Christian in their argument showed no remorse. In fact, he expressed that he was glad that he'd done it and that he hoped those men died. So that was their main tactic, using that video evidence, using his statements against him.
What argument was Christian's defense team using to try and convince a jury that he was innocent?
You know, I think their closing arguments, they did a really good job. They really hammered down the self-defense argument. They really communicated to the jury that it wasn't their job to kind of prove a point or a political stance in this, that they were supposed to look at intent as it applies to murder, and that in their arguments, Jeremy Christian did not intend to murder anyone that day. So that was the thesis of their argument.
Oregon's law requires that for those murder convictions, it needed to be unanimous, needed to be 10-2 on the other counts. In the end, it was 12 guilty verdicts on 12 counts and all 12 jurors voting to convict on each of the counts. What do you think the value of those unanimous verdicts is?
I think that was huge for the surviving victims and their families. I mean, just knowing that after all that they've been through, a jury backed them up and said, yes, this guy is guilty and he's guilty of everything. I was personally surprised that it was unanimous on every single count. I thought we'd see a little bit more variation in some of the smaller charges, like the intimidations or stuff like that, where it, like you said, only had to be 10-2, but the jury really, really stuck together on this one.
What happens over the next couple of days?
On Tuesday and Wednesday of this week, the jury will actually be back in court. This was a surprise to them on Friday. They thought their job was done, but they'll be back for a sentence enhancement hearing. So they're going to be talking to the judge about some of the facts that they found in this case. And then Judge Albright can use that to kind of determine if she's going to go above and beyond on the sentencing. So that's kind of the gist of it. I'll be in there to see more what they present to her, basically.
That is Tuesday and Wednesday. Presumably at the end of that, we will have a date for sentencing.
Hopefully. I know on Friday in court, the judge also mentioned that there might be a pre-sentence investigation, and I'm not sure how long that might take. But hopefully we'll know pretty soon when sentencing is going to happen.
Hannah Rae Lambert, this has been a pretty incredible month for you. Your first major trial.
Right?
What did you learn from being in a courtroom every day?
Oh my God. It was a huge learning experience. And I'll be the first to admit that I was not prepared on day one. I showed up and ran out of battery within like 3 hours on my laptop. I was taking so many notes and everything was happening so fast. But it's taught me a lot about the trial process and who to talk to get information, how to kind of work the court system and the public information officers and stuff like that. And also just the value of being in a courtroom for every day of the trial. You see so much from sitting on the bench in there that you don't see on camera. You see all of the interactions between people and the breaks and all of the emotions on people's faces, stuff that you don't necessarily get when you're just filming the prosecutors.
Obviously, you'll be back in court again this week and then returning for sentencing when that time comes. If you close your eyes and think about the trial of Jeremy Christian, what stands out? What are you going to see when you close your eyes?
I'm going to see the families, probably. That's been the most emotional part is, for me, this is just a job. I show up and I write down what people say, but for them, this is their son, brother, boyfriend, someone that never came home that Friday in May. And so I'm gonna think about them.
You have been fantastic covering this trial here on the podcast and for coin.com. But the best way we could follow along with what you were doing was on Twitter. What is your handle if somebody would like to follow along with other more positive stories that you might be doing in the future?
No more murder trials for a little while. You can follow me at the Hannah Ray. It's H-A-N-N-A-H-R-A-Y.
Hannah Ray Lambert, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Coin 6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin 6 podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey, Coin 6 meteorologist Kelly Bayern here. We know that you like to know what to expect from the weather each week and how it could affect everything from getting to work on time today or what you want to do with your weekend. That's why we've launched Your Weather Week podcast on the Coin Podcast Network. Each Monday, fellow coin meteorologist Joseph Dames and I take an in-depth look at your forecast and bring it to you in a fun, relaxed atmosphere that you can download and listen to whenever and wherever you want. So check out Your Weather Week on the Coin Podcast Network every week. You can find it on coin.com or iTunes, Spotify, and Podbean.